Good morning, everybody. So lovely to be here. I don't know why I say that, because I'm always here, actually, on time, mostly anyway. But it is lovely to be here. If we haven't met, my name's Rachel, and I'm part of the team here at Woody's, and I'm preaching this morning. And we are talking about money. And I don't know if you were here last week, you would have heard Nigel giving quite an inspirational, I thought, sermon about money. I wasn't here, but I listened on catch-up. And he told a brilliant story. Anyone hear the donut story? Oh, you missed a treat. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to last week's sermon. And also, Dave Mitch preached a brilliant sermon as well Sunday evening. So I'm the follow-up. So I'm going to try my hardest to go there, really. And the reason we're talking about money is because what we want as a church, as a community, is to grow in our discipleship, in how we follow Jesus and what that means. That's why we're talking about things like money, because let's face it, it's a bit uncomfortable talking about money. I've got to say, this is not probably my most favorite sermon topic, but Dave Mitchell put my name down against it, so I had to put on my big girl pants and just do it. So I'm going to start off with a little story. My godmother died last year. I used to call her Auntie Betty. She wasn't an auntie, but I called her auntie. And she was one of the people that taught me how to handle money carefully. Because every time I celebrated a birthday, she would give me some money in my birthday card. And also in the birthday card was a little brown envelope that had stamped on the side of it, Leprosy Mission. I didn't know what the leprosy mission was when I was a little girl, but I knew that she wanted some money back because it came in the card every time. And she taught me that whatever God gives me via Auntie Betty, I have to give some of it back to God, because all things come from him ultimately. And whatever we give back is his anyway. So every birthday she'd give me £5 and I would give her £1 back. Now, you could say, well, why didn't she just cut out the middle person, give you £4, she could give £1 to Leprosy Mission, bosh, it's all done. But she wanted to teach me something about giving. And actually, she did. I don't know if I ever told her that, but she did. She did teach me about that, because what she was trying to get into me, she was a Christian lady, loved the Lord, she wanted me to know that everything we have is from him. And we want to give some of it back to him. And it's this verse in Chronicles that basically underpins my sermon this morning. Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. And that's kind of my underpinning verse. Imagine if you had a son or a daughter, and you lavishly gave them things for all their lives, money, gifts, possessions, all the good stuff, and they never, ever, ever brought you a gift or gave you anything in return. Can you imagine how cross you'd be? I'd be pretty cross. I'd be very cross, actually. And I think that's what I want to talk about today, is how we steward our money well and how we steward it in a way that we are generous and give to God, give back to God, give to the work of his kingdom in a way that really affects us and that we can learn to grow in. And this might be a real grower for some of us. I know that, as I said, the topic of money and giving is probably fraught with a bit of pain for some of us. Some of us who are really struggling with our finances, some of us who have had difficult experiences with debt in the past or currently right now in this moment. I think I'm just going to put it out there, you pay my salary. I work for the church and you pay me. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful, as we all are, who work for the church. But there's that tension there in me that I'm talking about money and you guys pay my salary. It just feels a bit funny. So there are some tensions to manage in this topic, and I don't want anyone to kind of feel shamed or like we're putting pressure or the lean on, because I'm really not. And hopefully as the sermon goes on, you will really understand that actually that's not my heart, that's not my perspective, that isn't where I'm coming from. But I recognize that we probably don't talk about money very often to many other people, maybe to our closest, our nearest and dearest, maybe not even to them. So I'm just going to try and go there this morning in a way that is helpful. That's my hope and my prayer. Here are some interesting stats to get us in the mood. So listen up. On average, an average debt on a credit card takes 26 years and 8 months to pay off if you only ever pay the minimum payments each month. So if you've got a credit card debt and you're paying off the minimum payments, it's going to take you over 26 years to pay it off. Wowza, that's a long time, isn't it? The Citizens Advice Bureau in England and Wales dealt with 1,186 debt issues every day in the year to February 2024. So every day they were supporting people who were in debt to the amount of 1,186 times a day. That's quite a lot, isn't it? Thirdly, the government debt, honestly, you'll be shocked by this, the government debt increased by 593.4 million a day in the 3 months to December 2023. I can't even comprehend that amount of money. It's just kind of, I've got a bit of dyscalculia, so I don't do figures very well. But the government debt increased by £593.4 million a day in the 3 months to December 2023. And I got this from a reputable money website. It wasn't just like Google. So these are huge stats, aren't they? Huge figures and numbers. It's very easy to be overwhelmed. But I think they illustrate that from the individual level, right up to government, and actually worldwide, we look at the worldwide use of money and debt, and especially in the developing world, we do not handle money well. From us, me, right up to kind of the people who are leading our country, leading the world. We have an issue with handling money well, with stewarding money well. And Jesus had a lot to say about money. There are over 2,000 references in the Bible, and Jesus taught a lot about money, more than other things, actually, that we bang on quite a lot at church. He talked a lot about money. Two of his most famous verses, if you're familiar with the teaching of Jesus, are these two. They're going to come up on the screen. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money equally. That's what he's saying. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus is saying that learning how to handle money correctly is not just a handy life skill. It is that, really an important life skill. It's also a matter of our hearts. How our hearts are figured out and how they are before the Lord and what is the most important thing to us. Is it our money, our security, our finances? Or is it a dependence on him and his provision for us, knowing that all the good things that we have in our life come ultimately from him? They all belong to him anyway. And when Jesus issues a warning like that, it's strong, it's stark, it's Jesus at his kind of like most kind of directive. He's issuing a warning because he knows we need to hear it. He's not trying to kind of be controlling or, you know, he wants all the money for himself. He's issuing it because he knows we need to hear it, because it's something that we need to learn how to do. It's a protection, actually. I think often when I hear warnings in the Bible, I think of it as a protection. It's God is trying to train us and help us and lead us in the way that we live life in a right way, live life like him, because that's what we're ultimately aiming to do, isn't it? To be more like Jesus. I want to, on my deathbed, be more like Jesus when I die than when I started out. I mean, I was a baby when I started out, so obviously that's going to be a bit like it. But you know, do you know what I mean? I want to be constantly growing to be more like Jesus. And for Jesus, the lordship of Jesus, as in what I mean by that is putting him first, isn't just in some areas of our life. Lordship is the clues in the word, I guess, is every area of our life should come under the lordship of Jesus. And that's why we talk about this sort of stuff, because we want to grow as disciples of Jesus. It's not about having more money for church or more money here, more money. It's actually about, it's our heart. Are we following and loving Jesus more? So that's where we're going now. So a Bible reading this morning is written by the Apostle Paul, who was one of Jesus' followers. He actually became a Jesus' follower after Jesus had died and resurrected and gone to heaven. And he actually hated Christians. You know, hate was in capitals. He stoned them. He got them put in prison. He hated them. And then he met Jesus, and the rest is history. He becomes this like radical follower of Jesus. And he plants lots of churches all around Israel. And this is his words to the church in Corinth, which is the church that he planted, and he's probably responding to questions that they were asking him about how to live. And so in his letter, he's responding probably to some of their questions and also throwing in some extra stuff that he really wants them to know. So let's have a read of our passage. It's four verses. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. That's to bless the church in Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. I love it. Straightforward, clear, practical advice from the Apostle Paul there. So I'm going to go through that passage, and I'm hopefully going to help us learn how to steward our money. But interestingly, Paul starts by talking about this whole topic of stewarding money, by talking about giving it away. That seems sort of counterintuitive. It seems a bit kind of baffling that he wants to teach them to steward the money well, but actually what he wants them to do is to give the money away. So how does that work? Let's go through this. Four kind of points I'm taking out of that passage that will hopefully help. Firstly, now, about the collection for the Lord's people, give it away. Paul is teaching the church in Corinth that what they should be doing, and maybe it's his assumption, that they will be giving some of their money away. That all the money that they've got coming into their household or to their pocket, is some of that is to be given to the Lord's work. And interestingly, the people in the church in Corinth would be a real mix of people, much like our congregation here. There's people from all walks of life. There are people who are earning very high salaries, very tiny little salaries, and everything in between. There would have been people who were rich in that church and poor. There would have been slaves in that church. There would have been free people. There would have been women in that church. There would have been men in that church. There would have been children in that church, a bit like us. And he is wanting them to understand and realize that to steward money well, you start by giving some of it away. Now, when Martin and I first got married, 33 years ago, just thought I'd say that. I know I don't look old enough. 33 years ago, I say that all the time, so it's a very old joke. We decided that we would give a proportion of our income away at the beginning of the month. Now, I was a student. I didn't have any income. I had lots of debt. But we decided that we were going to make a decision to, at the beginning of every month when our income came in, that we would give a proportion of it away, no matter how much money we felt we had, and we landed on 10%, because that's what they did in the Old Testament, and, you know, there's lots of debate about what you should and shouldn't do. To be honest, it doesn't really matter, personally. It was a proportion that we both settled on, and for 33 years, that's what we've done. It's gone out by direct debit, because that's so much easier. And that's come out of our bank account at the beginning of the month. And it's gone to the church and some other people that we support, missionaries and people who are serving and doing other things. And for 33 years, we've done that. Now, sometimes that has been, a happy thing to do. It's been a joyful thing to do. But honestly, sometimes it hasn't been either of those things. It's been a really tight thing to do, as in it's been the finances have been tight. And I haven't been as joyful as I could have been. I've been a bit whingy about it. And when our kids were sort of smaller and they were like sucking out money from us constantly, like little sort of parasites. I mean, I love them. But you know, if you've had small children, you know what they're like. They're just like money pits. You're just kind of like throwing it at them. Their feet were growing so fast. Anyway, I'm getting off track. When money was really tight, it was so tempting to say, I'm not going to give that to God. I'm not going to give it away because I need it, quite frankly. My children's feet are growing too quickly. And I'd like a holiday. And I need a holiday, and I really want to do it. But we made a decision that we weren't going to shift on this. You know, that was our personal decision. I'm not saying nobody else could do that, but we decided that we weren't going to shift on that. And actually, I look back now, I've been so blessed. I have been so blessed. God has been so good to us as a family. We've not been able to afford holidays sometimes. People have given us a holiday. The amount of cars we've been given over the years, oh my gosh, I've lost count. We've been given so many cars. No, they're not Teslas, but they work and they go, and they're great. I'm joking. We are so grateful for everything that has come our way from God's people. And honestly, I could write a book about it, honestly. And it's taught me that I should always be generous, even when I don't feel like doing it. Secondly, Paul is telling them to give regularly. To give regularly on the first day of every week. Now, the first day of every week worked for those guys because they probably got paid weekly. We get paid monthly, so it doesn't make sense to do it weekly. So on the first of the beginning of the month for us, we set aside the money that we're going to give away, and we do it by standing order because it's a lot easier. And when you do something consistently and regularly, it creates a habit. You know, if it's push-ups or sit-ups or you go to the gym, whatever, if you do it regularly and consistently, you form a habit and it just becomes human nature. It just becomes what you do. And then it can grow into like a generous habit. It might fall not very generous and hard at the beginning, but it will grow into like a beautiful, generous habit that becomes a rhythm to your life. And even when you don't feel generous, do it anyway. And you will find that if you just do it when you feel like it, probably you won't feel like it very much. So Paul's encouraging them to do it regularly. Thirdly, to give intentionally. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Now, everybody would have been different in this church, and their financial backgrounds would have looked very different. He's not saying you've all got to give this amount of money. He's saying, actually, be intentional about what you give. Be thoughtful about it. Ask God what you should do. You know, it's between you and God, actually. You don't have to have a big committee meeting and tell everybody what you should be doing. It's private. It doesn't have to be, but actually, it's pretty much private between you and the Lord. So be intentional about it. And in my life, I would say, there have been times when I've had to go to God and say, oh, I think you might be asking me to do this with my money. Maybe something different or over and above the 10%. And if you spend some time with God and say, God, what should I do? Show me what I should do. In my experience, he always shows me. He gives me that little nudge, that little kind of like my conscience kind of starts going, Rachel. And it's like, and then you do it. And if in doubt, maybe do it anyway. Fourthly, proportionally, in keeping with your income. Paul's talking about, you know, be realistic with what you've got. Be realistic with what you've got. There's no judgment. God isn't judging us and saying, well, it should be this, or it should be that. It's like, just decide with God what proportion you should do. It might be very, very small. You may have a very small income. Things might be so tight for you. And actually, maybe you can't give at the moment. Actually, that is okay too. We live in a position of grace before God. We don't earn anything. We don't earn love or attention from God by giving. We have that anyway because he loves us and he's for us. This is about how we grow as a steward of what God's given us. And if we think about the proportion of what we have, then that's about what we have, not what anybody else has. What is God asking you? What is God asking of me? You don't have to worry what he's asking somebody else. That's between them and God. So, if Paul's advice here is about how to steward our money, how to give back to God, how to bless his kingdom work and activity in the world, what happens when we are stuck in debt or we are being sort of pulled into a place where it's really, really hard? I just want to touch on that as I finish. Because that's the reality of the society that we live in. It is hard. And even some of us here might be really in a dark place. And so I just want to kind of throw out some things that might be helpful. Two things to just recognize. The financial climate that we live in right now is really, really tough. We are living in a cost of living crisis. Everything has increased and gone up. You know, food, clothes, petrol, you know, heating, everything is really expensive and it's hard, and that has really kind of put a crunch on a lot of people. That is on one thing. The other thing, living in Bristol is expensive, isn't it? Rent, mortgages, trying to buy a house, it's so hard for young people, for single people, for people who are elderly, or trying to get on the ladder is nigh impossible. It takes a long time to save up to get a deposit for a house, and house prices are just off the scale. So we recognise that we are in a city where it's not easy to feel like it's not easy to do life and have a bit of spare cash. So that's the reality. Secondly, we've got culture. Climate, we've got culture. We live in a culture that is dripping with advertising. If you work in advertising here, I do not want to shame you or make you feel bad. I'm sure you're doing a fantastic job. God bless you. Make good adverts. But advertising does not care about us having a balanced way of living our life. Adverts want us to buy their products. I know you know this, but I'm just reminding you that we will be happier, brighter, thinner, prettier, curlier, straighter if we buy all the different things we buy. That's how advertising works. It works on us being dissatisfied with where we're at and says if we do this or buy that or do this, we'll just feel better. We'll just feel better, and so therefore it's a good thing to do. So we just got to know that. The other thing is we live in a cashless society. You know, oh, I haven't got my phone on me, but, you know, we can tap our phones without even thinking about what we're spending. We can tap our bank cards, and we actually get a reward, don't we? We get a little ding. Ding. Oh, that feels good. Ding. Oh, yes, that's real money. Ding. You know, it's like a weird sort of psychological thing that's happening. But we don't actually see money. We're not actually counting out the pennies. When our kids were small and cash was really tight for us, I would get out the weekly budget in cash. I would say, this is food. This is petrol. This is shoes. I bought a lot of shoes for the boys. Their feet grew a lot. And, you know, I'd have to make those little things work. But we don't do that anymore. We don't even see cash. You see it on your hand. It's like, oh, it's so shiny. I had some pound coins given to me the other day. And I was like mesmerized by them. They were like, ooh, it was a weird little moment because I don't have cash in my wallet ever. I really, really don't. I don't even use my wallet. I don't even take it with me anymore because I've got my thing on my car, on my phone. So that means we are not very good at tracking with our finances. And it's very easy to slip into overspending because that's what we all do. Let's just be honest about it. It's a thing. So if debt has crept up on you and you are finding yourself today in a difficult position where you're feeling like I'm in debt and I'm stuck, I don't know what to do, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed and fearful, three things I just want to hopefully help you. Number one, might seem obvious, but pray. Invite God into your finances. Invite God into the situation that you're in. Literally say, God, I cannot do this. I need your help. Pray about it. Number two, tell a trusted friend. Tell somebody that you are in this situation and you need some help. They may not be able to help you financially and sort it out, but you know what? When you bring your secret, the horrible thing, that the mountain that it feels like when you're in debt, into the light with somebody else, oh, you'll feel a bit of relief. When we bring our secrets into the light, it's so much easier to get help and for God to work. James, the book of James talks about the one anothering. When you do this with one another, it really helps. And that's the same with debt. Number three, get support and create a plan. There are some brilliant debt relief organizations. They are experts in advocating for you if you're in debt. They are expert at talking to the organizations, the businesses that you may have got into debt with and helping kind of sort it out. That's their job. That's what they do. In fact, the National Debt Helpline has a free phone number. It's a charity. You can phone them up and you will talk to somebody who is an expert in talking to people who have got stuck into debt. There's also Step Change, another charity, CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty, and the Citizens Advice. All of these organizations are experts at dealing with debt and helping people make a plan. And if you go onto their website, there are testimonies of people who have been in debt, I don't know how to say that word, but are now not. So there is hope out there. And also, God wants you to move from that place of darkness into the place of light. Right, I'm going to finish because we want to celebrate communion together. I just want to end by asking you to think about, is God asking you to start something, to stop something, or to bring something into the light today around the whole area of stewarding of finances and debt? Is he asking you to start something, to stop something, or to bring something into the light? And let's just focus in on Jesus as we come to communion. Because Jesus is the one who paid all of our debts. The debt of sin and shame and mistakes and messiness of our lives. He paid for all of that on the cross because he loves us and he wants to reconcile us with God. Maybe the most famous verse about debt is this one. Listen up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God knows that we cannot ever pay the debt of sin that is actually stood, sort of stacked against us, and that Jesus came to pay that debt through his sacrificial death on the cross, to invite us into relationship with the God of the universe, to change our lives forever by giving us a relationship with him. Now that debt has been paid. What a brilliant truth to land on. And that is how and why we respond with giving back to God what he's given to us. It's in like a joyful, generous response to the love that he's poured out to us in our lives. Like that story at the beginning, you know, the child that has been given so much but never buys anything for the parent. Let's live our lives generously. Let's learn how to do it if it's not instinctive for us. And let's grow in this. Just take a moment to be quiet, and then I want us to pray a prayer together. Holy Spirit, are you asking us to start something, to stop something, or to bring something into the light? I ask that you would speak to each of us. Maybe you felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit say something to you this morning. Can I ask you to, you don't have to tell anyone, but just take a step, action it in some way. Don't go out into the sunshine and let it just fall away. If the Lord is speaking, let's respond to him and put it into practice. As we end and go into communion, I'd love us to say this prayer together. It's based on the Deuteronomy verse I read at the beginning, and it's from the Anglican Communion Service. And I thought it's really appropriate maybe today, as we hand over to Nigel, that we say this prayer together. So it's going to come up on the screen. Let's say it together and pray this. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Amen. Amen. Amen.